Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you on this Thursday, April the 24th, 2025. And we've got my very good buddy, Mr. Willie Cantu, former San Antonio police officer and expert in law enforcement. And I wanted to get him on, my friends, because we've got what we've been talking about for a while on our show, the issue of illegal immigrant violent crimes in our backyard, in our communities now. And a good example is this whole situation with the Salvadoran MS-13 gang member that has been deported, and it appears that the Democrats are doing everything possible to bring him back, to have him re-undeported, I guess. And the issue is very simple. We've gone through a period of defunding the police and an open border. Now we're going through a period where they don't even want us to deport these criminals when we find them. The issue is, how do we find them? And I that's why I'm reaching out to Willie, because Willie's an expert in these situations. Willie, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Hey, George, it's been a little while, huh?
Yeah, it has. And a lot has been happening. Now, given this situation, first of all, there is the issue that has gone on, and we even have folks here in San Antonio that are echoing the comment that we don't know that this guy is really, that Abrego Garcia is really an MS-13 gang member. And we don't know if Tren de Aragua gang members have been operating in our community in San Antonio. What are your thoughts?
You know, since it's been a while with you and I guess, even by just starting since the election, right? The Trump won, and I think it goes back that far, right?
Yeah.
That you and I kind of, yeah.
It's been at least 3 months.
Right. And I've been busy doing my own thing, obviously my own podcast, the Blue Wolf Podcast. You know, been rolling with there, which you obviously, like I said, I attribute to you to get started with that. And it's been rolling. I mean, we've been doing really good. People reaching out wanting to be on the podcast.
That's so great. Congratulations.
Yeah, so, yeah. And then again, so much going on, and mentioning the Trump winning the presidency. What we're seeing, and I know it was completely unexpected from the Democrats that he would even come close, and he just totally destroyed Kamala Harris, thank God. But what we're seeing now is it'll be a 4-year tantrum from the Democrats, because they don't know what to do. Their whole party got rained on and just totally destroyed everything that they assumed. So they're trying to catch up. And so everything that Trump is doing, and as we're seeing he's doing, he is living up to his promises, you know, promises made, promises kept. And he's trying to do everything that he told his constituents that he was going to do. And which is odd, you know, unfortunately, from a president to see them actually doing what they said they're going to do. And this deal with this gang member, this Kilmar Abrego Garcia from Venezuela, is
El Salvador. He's from El Salvador.
From El Salvador, El Salvador. The other thing is they don't want to believe anything that this administration is saying. So they're hinging on the allegations against him, you know, him being a gang member, him having been involved in family violence with his wife. And now we're finding out more and more as it starts to trickle out that, you know, they're calling everything a lie. And of course, if the Trump administration said it or his DOJ, then it has to be a lie. But one of the easiest things that you see, and it's in pictures, and now it's pretty much proof that shows these people that it is not a lie, this MS-13, is a tattoo specifically that's on his hand, and it's on his knuckles. And it doesn't say specifically MS-13. It's symbolism is what it is. And so the pictures depict what they what that is supposed to mean. And then, mind you, a lot of gangs use that. Our own Mexican mafia in San Antonio has that. They use symbolism. Usually they use the number of the letter M somewhere in their you know, MM, and their tattooing and things like that. And of course, a chata, a female with long black hair wearing a sombrero, that's pretty indicative of Mexican mafia. So the MS-13 have the same thing. The other issue that people don't get, and like you and I talked about, that I haven't yet to see the media speak to a true gang expert. Now, I am considered an expert in law enforcement and tactics and firearms and things like that, but not necessarily a gang. I never worked the gang unit. I did work side by side with them. I did stop gang members throughout my whole career in San Antonio. I did arrest them. I did take them down. We did run warrants when I was on SWAT against them. And so, yeah, I mean, we know. I've been through seminars to see their tattooing on their bodies and what it means. This guy with that MS-13 symbolism on his knuckles means that he earned those tattoos. He just didn't go to some tattoo parlor and say, hey, I like, you know, MS-13, but I really don't want to say it, so give me the symbolism that they use. You don't do that. You get them in prison, just like prison gangs. Mm-hmm. You have to, obviously, how do you get in prison? You break the law and you become a felon and you go to prison. Not jail necessarily, but prison. And that's where you get them. That's why they're usually black and white, or black, because it's not like a parlor where they can use red and all these other colors that you see in some of these other people. And you know, they have some very skilled people that'll use needles and makeshift tattoo tools in prison. And the other thing is, if you're going to represent that gang, obviously you have to have done something to be accepted. And a lot of times, and if you've seen videos of these, like, oh, you have to kill people to get these. Now, there's no allegations that he has, but this guy's from El Salvador. No one, you know, I can't bring this guy up on my computer, even if I was still working, and go, oh, look, there's this criminal history all over the world. Nobody does. Nobody has that. You know, maybe the DHS has that ability, you know, to reach into the database, obviously contacting the El Salvador government to get that. Which I don't know why they haven't, you know, they've spoken to the president there about it, but he is a true gang member, and he is MS-13, and they are involved in high crimes, lots of felonious activities, rape, murders, extortion, property crimes, anything they can do to, you know, to gain. It's all about money as well. So that's, yeah, the Democrats just don't want to believe it.
Yeah,
but they're starting to now. They're starting to now. Now they're switching the narrative to, well, he hasn't received due process.
Let me ask you about the whole situation in our own backyards. What is the state, for example, of the gang unit in San Antonio? Because I know that we've had Tren de Aragua activities here. We have them still. But now that the cartels and these gangs are getting tougher because they're afraid of getting deported and they're afraid of being detected. I mean, it seems to me like it becomes much more important to have a gang unit as well as covert activities and other folks like the repeat offenders program that could go in and arrest people that with warrants. What is the state of that to protect us from Tren de Aragua, from MS-13, and other characters like that in our backyard here in San Antonio?
I'll try to make it as short as I can, because there's a lot of stuff that can branch off on that. I mean, it's a sad state. Now, we have a unit within the San Antonio Police Department called TAG, T-A-G, Texas Anti-Gang unit is what they are, and they receive federal funds as well. So they have task force officers, some feds working with them, and certain resources, which is great. And in fact, you know, I talked to a buddy of mine the other day who I didn't know was on it. So it's like, oh, great, you moved on to that. But you know, they're obviously because of that gang, and when they had that migrant resource center in San Antonio, they were starting to see crimes occurring around that area. And the city, you know, obviously didn't advertise it. They didn't call the media and say, hey, look what we're doing. They didn't want it to get out because, you know, as we know, they were being a sanctuary city, which they weren't supposed to. And these people were free to come and go in and out of that resource center. A lot of them just lived in apartments down the, you know, nearby. As we saw, they were taking over, the MS-13 were taking over apartment complexes through extortion and intimidation. And San Antonio, which was in the news, along with some other law enforcement agencies, were actually entering vacant apartments in a couple of apartment complexes to see if there were gang members or anybody else living in there that wasn't supposed to, because they were supposed to be vacant. But so we had this unit, and they assigned them to start identifying them and getting to know them, because again, they're not like our usual gangs, our local gangs. They're going to have a different set of tattoos. They're going to have the tattoos are going to mean certain things and different hierarchies within their group. So we want to know everything about them. But they're involved in a lot of stuff, and like you and I talked about before, these guys, they're going to clash with the prison gangs, or they're going to work in unison so they can, you know, get bigger or whatever it was. But yeah, these guys and the other part that I said is going to be a long conversation is, you know, just the state of law enforcement across the nation, and I would say particularly in San Antonio, about their hands being tied. These guys not wanting to get involved in things that might get them charged by this Soros bought DA Joe Gonzalez, or be fired because Chief McManus doesn't have the cojones to support them, and then he doesn't want to answer the questions from the media and the Act for SA activists about why this officer used what they saw was excessive force. So it's a very erosive idea and plan that the city has, especially when crime is getting higher.
Wow, it really, really worries me that you know, this situation with local law enforcement being undermined, while at the same time we've got an international element now of criminals that complement, and I'll use that word, that complement the domestic and local criminals.
Well, the win that the Democrats, and again, it's all the Democrats.
Yeah.
The one that they want is, because now, like I said, they're switching to that he hasn't received due process, which he has, and it's one Biden-era immigration judge that said not to deport him because he's in danger of, you know, getting harmed in El Salvador by a rival gang. So by just the language of that, to say a rival gang means he's in a gang. You know, why else would they want to harm him? And the crazy part is, for somebody to make that claim, you know, I'm part of a gang, but I don't want to go, so I fled over here. Like, and the Democrats and other people think that this guy came over here to become a lawyer or some businessman. You know, he's going to be part of our city council, or, you know, that is the dumbest thing. This guy isn't going to change his life. And as we've already seen, he was married. Obviously, he got married to somebody that, you know, wanted to marry him and had some kids, which is what they do. That doesn't mean he's a father. Because it, you know,
means he had some kids. That's what it means.
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, donated his sperm to have them. You know what I mean? A father is the actions, you know, from that act. You know, you and I are fathers. You know what I mean? We take care of our kids, and, you know, don't get in trouble for that. And so they harp on these things. That's why you see the media saying a Maryland man.
Yeah, right.
A Maryland father, because they don't want to call him a gang member.
Mm-hmm.
And they, it's crazy because you can only stay away from that so long. And 2022, I saw that he was stopped by some state troopers in a vehicle with about 8 other people, and the vehicle was owned by somebody who'd been involved in human smuggling.
Mm-hmm.
And the these eight people that appeared illegal, they didn't have anything in common usually. And when you see that, you know, then there's something going on. They had no luggage, and these officers identified them. You know,
yeah.
I was listening to Senator John Kennedy, who said that when they talk about due process, this guy has been in front of 17 federal judges already.
17.
17. Yeah, and he says his lawyer, his legal fees are upwards of $5 million.
Good night.
Of which he will never pay a dime of. You know, and so. It's crazy that the Democrats want to die on this hill.
And they they really, really are insisting still that his civil liberties, that his due process rights, that all of this has been violated, you know, and they don't talk about, you know, the murders that have occurred that these characters have been involved.
No, at the same time, there was another young woman that was murdered shortly after all this mess with this guy started by another TDA gang member, and this senator that Van Hollen that went all the way to El Salvador to meet him, he didn't call her, the mother, up to express his condolences or even offer anything, and here he is going all the way to El Salvador on taxpayers' money, by the way,
yes,
to see if this guy is okay. And I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I just can't understand their mentality with this. You know, they claim to be the party of compassion and fairness, and you know, DEI with all that other stuff. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but to be, you know, to implement diversity, equity, inclusion, that means you have to do that against someone else to include someone that doesn't belong somewhere.
That's
so
it.
Yeah, it's a cycle, it's a circle that just will never solve itself.
The,
so here we are.
Yeah, the situation, again, with detecting and arresting these folks, apparently the issue of the tattoos is completely ignored by the Democrats, by the liberals, and even by the media, by the news media. But how can they ignore police records? I mean, if a person is arrested, that doesn't that mean, I mean, that there's an arrest record?
Have you read, I mean, there's, you know, now on social media, Facebook and Instagram, you see these posts supporting with the documents, you know, that conservative people are putting out there. Mm-hmm. And if you go read the comments, you know, from whether it be below it or, you know, attached to it, mm-hmm. there's some idiots in there. And basically claiming, they're just claiming that the Trump DOJ just made them up, you know, which is what the Democrats are saying in the media. This can happen to all of us.
You mean like the Russian dossier that was made up by the Clinton people?
right. I mean, yeah, those things were made up. I mean, come on. But you know, they're saying this, and again, all these other people are saying, well, that they. Yeah, we falsified documents on one guy. We're just, and the Republicans don't have time to spend all their time and money, you know, and effort on one guy. They're actually, and I heard something, I think it was today, but they've arrested upwards of almost 400 terrorists, like
yes.
really
yes.
dangerous people, you know, mm-hmm. not guys like this guy. Yeah, this guy is dangerous, but.
Yeah, these are criminals. The other ones yeah. are terrorists.
Yes. And he's, you know, his gang is labeled as a terrorist group, that which is why, you know, the other thing is the Alien Enemies Act is that they don't understand when they talk about due process. The Aliens Enemies Act of enacted in 1798, it allows the president to declare, which he has, them as international terrorists, and then be able to remove them because they are. It is a public safety issue, and the only due process that he has is to notify them and allow them to make arrangements. And here is the crazy thing with these guys. So let's say they reached out to Abrego Garcia and said, "Hey, we're going to deport you. You know, we're notifying you, And I think one judge recently said they have to do it like within 21 days. You know, we have all these activist federal judges now coming out of the woodwork. And you think this guy's going to go, hey, honey, you know, tell his wife, we're going to have to leave. I'm going to have to leave. Hope you come with me. Let me get my will in order. You know, let's start packing. You know, no, he's going to disappear. He's going to go hide somewhere else.
Yep, right.
They don't have any sense of the way these people operate. No one, a lot of these people.
Or if they do, they don't care. Or if they do, they don't care. I mean, it's obvious that these people broke the law because they don't want to follow the law. And if you think that they're going to follow the law when you bring them back, I mean, you know, what comic book are you reading?
It's stupidity. I wanted to say ignorance, but I've gotten to the point where it's just sheer stupidity.
It's stupidity, yeah.
They don't understand these type of people. And these people, they're not your shoplifters. You know what I mean? They're not stealing things for drug money, like we see a lot of this petty theft. These guys are organized gangs. They have enforcers that'll go and take you out. The stuff we see in Mexico from the cartels, they're the same thing.
Yep.
They'll dismember you. They will hang you from bridges. They will burn you. They'll make soup out of you in a vat of acid. And here, these people want to be friends with these guys. It's unreal.
It really is. We're gonna need to let you go, buddy. But any closing thoughts on this whole thing with Abrego Garcia and law enforcement, both local and national? Any closing thoughts on that, buddy? With due process.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, and you know, because you know a lot of us, you know, really good men and women in law enforcement that entered into this profession to do the right thing. It truly is a calling. And, you know, it is exciting. I had a very fun, exciting career. I mean, chasing bad guys. That's what you get into, and putting people in jail. You know, obviously, justifiably. But when you handcuff them from doing what they want to do, it really is disheartening to them. They feel like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything good enough. And they all want to, and obviously do it the right way. We understand we have the process, the due process to give them. But when you have these people in the way, the Democrats, the activist judges here in San Antonio, we got a soft on crime DA, Joe Gonzalez. That is not an assumption. That is true. He's shown it. He's shown his true colors. What do these officers have to look forward to? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And it's not so much as putting somebody in jail and having DA Gonzalez.
There is no real due process for them. They're just thrown to the wolves, both by the media and the politicians.
Yes, and then they get embarrassed, you know, with stories in the media about them and doing wrong. And again, one thing is just them putting somebody in jail and the DA dropping their charges. The other thing is them trying to arrest this guy and have to use some sort of force, and
there
the
you
DA
go.
Charging the officers for a crime.
And they do.
Of which they'll be tied up with for 4 or 5 years, only to get cleared. And then, you know, their lives are, you know, ruined.
Tinted.
You won't get the same officer back.
Yeah, tinted at least. My friend, thank you very much. Tell the folks where they can follow you on your podcast. Tell them.
Yeah, I'm on YouTube mostly. I have my website. It's Blue Wolf Podcast, and that's BLUNOE Wolf Podcast. Also on YouTube, where you can watch, because we do video our tape our podcast, and it'd be great to hear from everybody, to check it out, leave comments, constructive comments. I'm on TikTok as well, and that's where you see a lot of boneheads that chime in, and, you know, they're from these fake accounts, and they say something stupid about law enforcement.
Yes.
You know, so
I've got lots of those. I've got lots of those.
Yeah. Well, I bet you have. And sometimes I'll chime in and tell them to go, you know, jump in a lake, or and even worse. Sometimes I just don't have the energy for them.
Yeah,
but
right.
I'll entertain any legitimate question. If someone really wants to know the
exactly,
truth
exactly.
Or the process, I will take my time.
But there's
that.
Some people that
and
don't want an explanation. They just want to insult you.
No, they don't want to know the truth. They have an idea of the truth. They just don't want to, because it doesn't fit their agenda. So, but George, I appreciate you, you know, wholeheartedly, I owe you so much gratitude for kicking me off on this podcast venture. You know, if you got me comfortable with talking on,
yes,
yeah, on the mic, trying to stick to the topic, and I owe you so much.
You got it, buddy. Folks, we've been listening and talking with our good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, former San Antonio police officer, now with his own podcast. Check him out. Check out his Blue Wolf podcast. And Willie, we're going to get you on again to talk a little bit more about what is happening with law enforcement and on the local level as well as on the national level. I mean, we need to talk about all of that, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll say this, one last thing, not to go off on it, but I don't believe the crime stats in San Antonio.
Oh, gosh, that is something we really need to talk about. Folks, for those of you who don't know, recently the San Antonio police chief came out and made the comment that crime is down all over the place in San Antonio, that it is lower. And the immediate reaction from most people was, liar.
Yeah. If you, again, go into social media, you see the comments, and a lot of them are saying, no way.
No way. So we got to get Willie to talk to us about that again.
Sure.
All righty, buddy.
Anytime, buddy.
You have a good one. We'll chat again soon. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Take care.